This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Sam Mallikarjanan. He's CEO and co-founder of OneScreen.ai, the marketplace provider for buying and selling out-of-home advertising. He was chief revenue officer at Flock.com and head of growth at HubSpot Labs. Sam taught advanced digital marketing, SaaS economics, and innovation management at the Harvard Division of Continuing Education. He's co-author of the best-selling book, Inbound Commerce, How to Sell Better Than Amazon, and is an avid podcast guest and industry speaker, and we are thrilled to have him here with us today. Thanks so much for joining me, Sam.
Thanks for having me, and congratulations on being one of, 1% of people I talk to who get my name right the first time.
It wasn't easy, but I'm so glad that I did. It's something that matters to me a lot, so thank you. So we're talking marketing, obviously, and I am curious to get your take on the current state of marketing.
Marketing has gotten weird. It was easy. We kind of had it easy for 15 or 20 years because we, the internet came along. It wasn't crowded. There were all these, new tactics that we could do. I once got in the mid 2000s, I got a cigar website to rank for the term health insurance just because SEO was easy back then. Pay-per-click was easy. Nobody was doing all of these things. Now, much like with, cold calling or things that tactics that we did in the 90s, it's really crowded. Everybody is doing SEO. Everybody's doing, paid social, paid search, and marketers are looking for new channels to grow. And a lot of marketers, my team had to remind me about this the other day, don't remember marketing before the internet. So they don't remember having to figure out new channels. Like TikTok is not that different from Instagram, that it's, a huge mental shift for people. But having to think about things like podcast advertising, connected television, out of home, all of these are very new. So this is the state of marketing today is that very suddenly every marketer on the planet has to learn new tricks and they're not used to having to do that.
So that is so interesting. This out-of-home advertising is not new. It's been around forever, but is this the kind of thing that people really don't get because we've been so immersed in the internet?
I'll be honest. I've spent probably 100 million-ish on internet ads in the last 15 years. I've done billboards twice in my career, and once was just to piss off a competitor. Not because I thought about it and decided not to, it just never entered my consideration cycle. It was just always easier to spend more money on Facebook ads. And what I found interesting, because we launched this startup on accident. It was originally a hackathon to help small businesses from a bunch of former HubSpotters. What I found interesting about the industry is it's the only traditional ad medium still growing. So it's not like we're putting, linear TV on life support here. It's doubled in the last 20 years. And it's crazy fragmented and archaic. So it's still run on spreadsheets and post-it notes. The top media owners that you could name don't own the majority of the inventory. It's mostly small local businesses who own the inventory. And it can be highly measurable, like internet advertising. So that's what I found interesting about it, was there aren't a lot of new channels where marketers can go where your competitors haven't already optimized everything to death, especially if you're a startup or a small business.
Okay. So how is it measurable?
Yeah. So the same concepts that we're used to online, which is we describe an audience we want to reach, and then the system says, okay, here's all the laptops and mobile devices where you can reach that audience. The same basic premise can be applied to out of home. So if you want to reach people who shop at Whole Foods and you know, drink bourbon and commute to work and have the job title of CEO, all of this data is available in what's data sources are usually used for commercial real estate planning. It's like, how does Starbucks decide where to put its next location where it's going to reach lots of, you know, coffee drinkers? That same data exists in the real world. It's just never been combined into a targeting interface. So we take all those sources of data and let you describe the audience you want to reach. You know, if you want to sell to people who work at HubSpot office, we can tell you what roads they take to go to and from the HubSpot office, just like the city planners in Boston would be able to tell you that kind of data. And then we tell you what inventory is most likely to be able to reach them, whether it's a billboard or mass transit or wrapping an ice cream truck and parking it out front. So that's like the targeting side, just like you're used to on Facebook. And on the analytics side, you can still use a pixel. So just like Facebook ads, Google ads, et cetera, you put a pixel on your website or whatever your campaign goal is. When somebody visits your website, that pixel checks to see, have you ever engaged with a Facebook ads campaign? Or in our case, it checks to see, have you ever been within the viewshed polygon? So the where somebody could actually see a piece of inventory of that company's campaign. So it's the same concept that we're used to with internet advertising. It just has an additional dimension of location data, which is not really something we've used before on the online. That's never been a parameter where I can say, hey, I want to run Facebook ads, but only show people Facebook ads when they're on their way to work.
Yeah. This is so fascinating to me because it makes so much sense when you say it. I had no idea that, I guess I should have known that all this information was out there. I think it's something we don't think about. But you mentioned something that got me thinking. So when we started talking about out of home, I instantly went to billboards because that's my understanding. But you started talking about other things as well. What else is considered out of home advertising?
Yeah, so this is why, for what it's worth, this is the most fun I've had doing marketing since they invented social media. It's a real, well, we're all tired of doing our 5,000th A-B test on AdWords to get 0.1% extra. But this is a four-dimensional context, right? So not only do you have the three dimensions where you can create an experience around people, like billboards in a sequence that tell a story, but you also have the concept of time, reaching people. Again, we have one advertiser is a liquor store, and there are 3% of people who go to the liquor store and then go to work. And I'm super interested to find out who they are. But in general, right, like you're going to not want to reach people on their way to work if you want to get them to go to a liquor store. So it's got that four-dimensional context, but then also the options are so much more. There's billboards, there's mass transit, but you can also wrap a bunch of cars and, you know, drive them around an area. You can have people holding projectors. You can have drones fly in a formation at night that light up and make a QR code or spell something out. You can... We had one company in Austin called Hunt a Killer, which is a dating game. You get like clues to solve the murder. They did stencils in Austin, Texas, that looked like they were police body stencils. And their hashtag was like, who killed Beth? And it was something that like people took photos of. I was waiting for some crime reporter to actually like start digging into this. You know, you can sponsor little league teams. There are billboards that float. You can have branded sandcastles. Like it's basically anything you can think of there is some business out there who specializes in, you know, in creating that kind of experience in the real world. There's just never been a marketplace before that brought them all together.
Okay. Which is what OneScreen does. So I'm starting to get this now. Are there certain brands or verticals that you are finding are taking advantage of this, or is it anybody and everybody?
I haven't found anyone yet for whom it's a bad medium. The three most popular, though, are one, if you are reliant on Facebook and Google, et cetera, to grow, and that's not sustainable for you anymore, especially like B2B software companies, you know, that kind of thing. Those are really popular. So like Amplitude, you know, companies that I'm actually a fan of, you know, MailChimp, Constant Contact, et cetera, HubSpot. So those companies who need new customer acquisition channels. The other two are one, businesses where you usually aren't allowed to advertise. So cannabis brands, for example, you know, out of home is not FCC regulated. It's regulated based on whatever the local municipal laws are. You know, so those types of brands tend to, you know, they love the fact that they can actually do advertising. And then the third type is what we call a challenger brand, which is if you're a small business or you're a startup and you need, you're not going to like go fight some big company who's had a team of 50 people optimizing their Facebook ads for the last 10 years. But you can launch your startup just like Brex did. Or if you're a small business, you know, for a much smaller amount of money, you can really be competitive in marketing in a way that you haven't been able to be before. So those are the three ones, either challenger brands who need to go fight incumbents who are better funded and have a much more mature marketing engine, or brands that can't advertise elsewhere, or brands that, you know, are doing everything that you can imagine online, and that's not working for them anymore as it's becoming more crowded. Privacy restrictions are making it so that they can't be creepy anymore. And they need new mediums in which to kind of to reach an audience. So if you find yourself in one of those three buckets, you're probably a good fit for looking into out of home.
It's really interesting because it feels to me like it would potentially be cost prohibitive for a small business.
So almost everything I thought I knew about out of home was wrong. And that was one of, and by the way, I hate the name out of home. It's the only medium that defines itself by what it isn't. Doesn't make any sense. But whatever, it's what the industry decided to call itself. It really depends on your goals, right? Like I always joke about, because I live here near Kennedy Space Center, if you want to reach Elon Musk, there's only one road into Kennedy Space Center unless you work for Space Force. And there's a billboard there that he has to drive past. You're not going to get him on Facebook ads. But that billboard right now is running ads for, I think, like an electric wheelchair company, very on brand for Florida. But that type of billboard is probably between $250, $300 a month. So if you have a very precise goal, audience that you're trying to reach, I mean, that's an extreme example. You're literally trying to reach one person. But if you're trying to reach, you know, a business, if you're trying to sell B2B, an LED truck might cost you a couple grand for, you know, an entire week of parking an LED truck with video and audio out in front of that brand. Or if you're trying to reach consumers, definitely on a cost per impression basis, it's way, way cheaper because it's been so fragmented, right? Like kind of economics 101, if you have perfect competition, prices trend towards infinity. And that's what we're seeing on Facebook, Google, you know, SEO, everything else right now. It's like, it's almost perfect competition as opposed to out of home, where unless you went to the Florida Department of Transportation, you would never even know about that Elon Musk billboard because nobody like us had ever just created a directory of who owned what and where. So it's, you can spend tons and tons of money, but we actually encourage people not to. You should run your first campaign, get some learnings, get some data, and then optimize it on an ongoing basis. And yeah, you can be on the NASDAQ sign in Manhattan, but your audience is also probably in other places. So 80% of the revenue actually for out of home comes from not the top 100 advertisers. It comes from smaller businesses. So it's almost the exact same mix as Facebook ads. It's not just big brands, which is what you probably think of, right? McDonald's and Walmart, and they form a minority of the people who run campaigns in out-of-home.
Okay, so if I'm understanding this correctly, it's figuring out where, you know, obviously who your target is, but where they are, where they're consuming information, or where they're interacting, I guess. And then what are the options in that area or that arena for getting in front of them in this non-traditional way?
Absolutely. It's a literal buyer's journey. For 20 years, we've talked about the buyer's journey as marketers, as if it was a conceptual thing. Yeah. You know, you go from awareness to interest to whatever. Turns out people actually do take real journeys. I really do drive places. I go to the grocery store. You can run ads in grocery stores. You know, I can go to the beach and there are the airplanes that fly over them. So if you're trying to reach me, you know, you can try and get me with internet ads, but I've got an ad blocker. Or you can do something fun and creative. And what I find fascinating too is out of home is the only ad medium where the ad itself is also content. So people take pictures of, you know, really interesting executions, like the people holding projectors or the QR codes, or you know, the T-Mobile's new commercial series is basically just a video of them driving around showing all of their billboards because they're trying to show they have national reach. Nobody is doing TV commercials featuring their Facebook ads. So it's a context in which you can reach people. It's one that people actually like. You're not interrupting their screen that they own. You're not coming into their home. And it's one where you have more flexibility to be creative with execution. My favorite example there is, I think it was a water conservation thing in Montana or something like that. But their whole thing was like less is more. And they only, you know, used like 1/6 of the billboard and just said less is more, conserve water. Or they had like one, you know, 1/4 of the mass transit thing that was sponsored. So like that's something you could never do online, where you can have like the execution itself is also part of the message. And it's interesting. It's fun. People take pictures with it. They, you know, they share it on social media, and nobody gets pissed off about having to see something really cool in the real world.
This feels to me like a small business would need a certain kind of marketing or advertising agency that understands the value and the, you know, because you're talking about creating things that are really interesting. And my thought immediately goes to, okay, but then that requires someone who understands the value and the impact of these opportunities.
So it's a lot like the early days of inbound marketing, where we used to have to explain to people what a search engine was before we could sell SEO software. Or, you know, blogging was something your nephew did on LiveJournal, not something a serious business did, same with social media. It's not a well-understood medium. In fact, there are very few agencies even, because if you're an agency that specializes in out-of-home, you generally haven't had access to this kind of data before. And if you're a digital agency, you generally haven't done out-of-home before. So that's our, just like HubSpot had to teach, you know, agencies how to do inbound marketing for clients back in the day, we have to do the same thing with agencies and with brands. Like, it's easy to make something powerful. Like AI sounds intimidating, but it's not as hard as it used to be. It's hard to make powerful things easy to use, though. So how do we make it so that you can have like a person who is not a professional marketer? Because small business owners, nobody opens a small business like a restaurant or something like that because they want to be a marketer. They open it because they're passionate about cooking, but then they have to do all this stuff. They've got to, you know, claim your Google Places listing and create a Facebook page and have live chat on your website that syncs to your phone in case consumers have questions. And it's the same thing that we're trying to do with out of home is how do we make it so that you don't have to be an expert in marketing in order to create a campaign that drives value for your business? Because, you know, those people will figure it out. It's the small business owners who are the fun ones who you really enjoy helping, who you feel proud about helping, who are the ones who have the least interest in taking a class on advanced marketing and putting that to practical use.
Okay. All right. Oh, thank you for that. Cause that, yeah, I get it. Okay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Imagine how fast we could solve the world's biggest problems if more SaaS startups would gain traction sooner. Welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. This podcast is dedicated to sharing experiences from B2B SaaS CEOs who are going above and beyond to deliver change that is noticed. You will hear their secrets and learn what is required to build a SaaS business that the world starts talking about and keeps talking about, and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so.
HR issues can kill you. One complaint against your company can turn your world upside down. And you spend way too much time dealing with HR when you should be spending your time on making a profit. You should talk to Bambi. With Bambi, get access to your own dedicated US-based HR manager starting at just $99 per month. They get to know you and your business while providing HR expertise and the personal touch you need and want. They're available by phone, email, and real-time chat, so onboarding and terminations run smoothly. Team members reach peak performance, and your business stays compliant with changing HR regulations. And with Bambi's HR Autopilot, you'll automate important HR practices like setting policies, training, and feedback. HR managers can easily cost $80,000 a year, but Bambi starts at $99 per month. Schedule your free conversation today to see how much Bambi can take off your plate. Go to Bambi.com right now and type in accelerate under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Spelled Bambi.com. Bambi.com. Type in accelerate. So talk to me about this onescreen.ai. So it's a marketplace for finding options. But it sounds to me like it is also a place to be able to create that marketing. Is that right?
Yeah. So you can kind of think of us like Amazon, right? Amazon's goal was to be the everything store. We have everything. You're actually in our marketplace, whether you want to be or not, because again, we scraped all the state permit websites and got lists from the IRS and things like that. So we made it so that there's one place where you can find everything you could want to buy. Just like when I want to buy something, I generally go to Amazon first. One, because they probably have it. Two, because they help me make decisions. They've got reviews. They've got an AI that does Amazon's choice. You know, those kinds of things. So it is a place where you can go and find all the inventory. It's also a place that will help you assemble a campaign that makes sense. Because nothing's worse than like trying something and then thinking it doesn't work. Like we had a very large Fortune 1000 company. It was like, oh, we tried out of home and it didn't work. It's like, no, you tried a stupid plan. And of course it didn't work. So we help you put like, without having to do all of this data analysis, and we process petabytes of data, be able to, you know, log in and know what's available, be inspired, then be able to actually buy it, which is the harder part, by the way. The hardest part of this whole thing has been not the AI or the data. It's been the fact that it's a 300-year-old industry that still runs on spreadsheets and post-it notes and actual faxes. And we've had to find ways to automate all of that so that to you, it still feels magical. But on our end, there's like these automated processes running to convert somebody's spreadsheet, you know, into, you know, something that you can actually use. Ugh. So you decide what to buy, actually buy it and deploy the campaign without having to call 30 different companies and then call a printer, et cetera. And then be able to measure it.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's fun.
It sounds fun.
A lot of fun. Like, you know, my team, My co-founder, Andre, you know, he's got a master's in AI from Columbia. He was an executive at Wayfair. You know, I was at HubSpot at the time. We could have done anything. We chose this because, you know, I didn't want to launch, you know, the 5,000th local marketing or, you know, email marketing or something startup. There's something like 10,000 internet MarTech startups. There's actually only 69 tech companies that are for out of home. And that's only if you count Verizon and the people who are in every category. And that's what I most enjoy. Like the internet, people like me actually ruined the internet, right? We made it not fun. It's over-optimized. It's turned us, certain marketers, into spreadsheet jockeys. It's made things really hard for small businesses, yeah, and startups. And the opportunity to take something which is, you know, growing anyways, and make it grow even faster by making it accessible to more people and by making it make sense for people who have to have an ROI. Like, you can't just spend money if you're a small business or a startup and hope it works out, right? You have to spend it with some confidence of ROI. To be able to do that, it's a lot of fun. There's no other industry I'd rather be working in. Even though everybody wanted to do crypto, we all saw how that worked out.
Ugh, yeah, right. Yeah, very smart. Okay. Well, Sam, I really appreciate this. I have never considered this, but I am fascinated now. Learning more about
this. Challenge. If I had known about out of home, I'm actually mad that I didn't. Like, HubSpot's biggest competitor was Salesforce. If I had known that I could, like, fly a plane over the Dreamforce conference and park an ice cream truck wrapped in HubSpot orange across the street, you know, and flown drones over and stuff like that, and it would have cost me less than sponsoring a booth at the Dreamforce conference, like, it would have made my life infinitely easier. Yeah. The biggest problem to out of home is nobody ever thinks about it. Everybody right. thinks it's for big companies with more budget than brains. And they think of it as, you know, an old school industry like direct mail or something like that. And it's none of those things. So yeah, hopefully everybody who's listening, even if it's not out of home, the skill marketers have lost is the intellectual curiosity to explore and create, to find new mediums, to test new things. 15 years ago, everything was new. Now we spent, instead of being explorers and creators finding new ways, like inbound marketing, we created content that people would read and gave value. We became optimizers, and that's something the profession of marketing and business owners everywhere need to recapture, is that curiosity of, if I'm not considering something, should I be?
I could not agree more. I am so about this. I think a lot of the initial concepts around marketing really have shifted to accommodate the internet. And we've lost so much of value and meaning and interest, you know, things that are fun. So I just love this. And I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for joining me and explaining all of this to my listeners. Will you please tell them how they can find you and OneScreen and whatever else they need to know.
One great thing about my name is if you Google anything even close, you'll find me. Twitter, LinkedIn, mention the podcast. I always love talking to people if anybody has questions. You can also go to onescreen.ai. Tip for startups and small businesses: spend more time when you're thinking of your brand name and find something where you can get the .com, because otherwise you got to say .ai every time you say your company name. But if you go there and, you know, and just explore, just check out what other people are doing, you know, like ramp.com with their floating billboards in Miami, like, just sometimes just getting inspiration from other marketers is what you need to get started.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know I'm going to do it. So thank you very much. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts.
Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.